Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave the magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thank you so very much for joining us this evening. We've got a really great show for you planned out tonight. Before we get started, I want to thank those of you all that are sending us emails and subscribing to the weekly publication that's a part of the Friday Night Ministry, your half-hour inspirational programming, a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. So I really want to thank you for that. We've gotten orders via email, and that's certainly the way to go. Those of you all that haven't had the opportunity to place your order, you can simply go and get a free sample. We're giving away a free sample of the publication. Again, it just launched February 24th. You can certainly be part of the history of it because I know that it's going to do record numbers because it's a spiritual publication that helps people to become very practical as well. So I encourage you all to send us an email at online, all one word, online at drjessewalker.com, online at dr, no period, Jesse Walker, J-E-S-S-E, Walker.com. And we will certainly look forward to your getting your free sample out. All right, we've had a great show on last week. We talked about, the topic was, should parents argue in front of their children? I thought that that was a very, very interesting topic. Tonight we're going to do a part one of the topic. We will not be coming back next week with part two. Instead, what we will do is we're going to bypass next week for part two, and we're going to be bringing you another program that I'm sure you will definitely be interested in. That one will be the drawback of jumping into another relationship too soon. The drawbacks of jumping into another relationship too soon. So we're certainly going to tune into that one. All right, let me just see. My co-host should be joining us momentarily with her travels, but we're going to certainly wait for her. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, and of course, you can listen by way of phone at 347-857-1769. You can certainly go to the internet and listen at drjessewalker.com as well. These shows air in its entirety about 15 minutes after each broadcast. So if you are interested in hearing the show, if you come on or you just want to listen to one of the topics, they're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Simply go on to the website and press on the play button, and you can catch the show in its entirety. All right, let me just take a moment and we're going to go to 706-202. Welcome to the show this evening. Who do we have on the air?
Dr. Jesse Walker, this is Celine Hitchcock.
Oh, Ms. Hitchcock. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just hoping to be able to speak to you before we went on air, but this is Celine Hitchcock.
Okay, all right. Ms. Hitchcock, thank you so very much for joining us. And we appreciate that. You're going to be able to stay with us for the time frame, or?
As much as possible. I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of taking two of my boys, them want to taekwondo class, and so I'm driving down the road and just hoping that we don't have too much distractions along the way.
Okay,
but
well,
I'm
that's
here.
Fine then. All right. Well, for those of you all that don't know, Ms. Hitchcock's calling out of Huntsville, Alabama. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, and she was scheduled to be our featured guest this evening, but things, for unforeseen reasons, she communicated with me that she would not be able to be the featured guest. But I understand, certainly, when things do come up. And we'll just keep you with us as long as you can. And when you can, if there's noise in the background, we'll certainly mute you out. And you can still be there, which means that my listeners won't be able to hear the noise. And then from time to time, we'll come back and check to see if you're there. Is that okay with you?
That sounds great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. For the record, so that my listening audience will know a little bit about you, and just before we get into the story for this evening, why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself, all that you want them to know, and nothing certainly that you would not want them to know, and what type of business you're in, and how they reach you, and by email or telephone.
Okay. Well, once again, my name is Saline Hitchcock. I really want to thank you, Dr. Jesse Walker, for this opportunity to be on air with you and to be part of your program. And I look forward to the topic this evening. I presently, I have a number of things right now, but I'd like to, I guess, advertise my life insurance. I just received my Alabama state license for life insurance, and I work with a pretty reputable company that I've loved for many years before my children came along, Primerica. And, you know, I just want people to know that this is something that everybody needs. It's not for sales purposes. It's just that so many things are happening, and especially in our own culture, people are not prepared and ready for, you know, the inevitable at times when it comes a little bit early, or even when it comes at the right, if there's such a thing as the right time. So I just like to advertise, you know, life insurance and how it's just really important to be educated in that area and to know, to make sure that your family is taken care of and your future is taken care of.
All right. So how would I heard you say that you have a Alabama state license. So if someone that hears you over the air tonight and they're interested in communicating with you, can you sell insurance outside of your state if they were to call you? Let's say someone from Florida were to call you. Can
right.
you sell?
I can. We pretty much, Primerica is pretty much all over, and so I can pretty much take care of anyone anywhere. And my thing is, if you are just even interested in this, and it doesn't work out so that I can sell life insurance to you, believe me, I can find somebody in one of your states, you know, to make sure they can take care of you if I have a problem on my side. There are certain states that we may have a little bit of an issue with selling in those states, but for the most part, we can take care of anyone in any area, including Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands, where I've sold some contracts as well.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing that with us. Also, just before we get into the story for the evening, let me ask, and we're going to ask for contact information from you for, like, a phone number and also for an email address.
Okay.
Just before I do that, do you all offer, in addition to the life insurance that you mentioned, do you all offer any additional services like financial services and along those lines? And you may want to speak briefly to that.
Right. I'm really glad you asked that question, because I know I do advertise for life insurance, but we offer a host of so many different products. We do offer life insurance. We offer some legal services as well. We offer,
Well, as it comes to you,
as
it comes to you, then you can certainly bring it back to us. We're going to go now with just give us a phone number to contact you on or an email address.
706 206-202-7617, and that's saline.hitchcock@gmail, and that's S as in Sam, A-Y, L as in love, E, N as in Nancy, E, dot Hitchcock, H-I-T-C-H-C-O-C-K, at Gmail.
Okay, so it's quite a bit. Say that email address again. Just give us a name again, and then they can always listen to the show and get it back again.
Saline.Hitchcock@gmail.com.
Okay. All right, Ms. Hitchcock, we're going to ask you to stand by as we prepare for tonight's story. We want to say thank you for joining us on tonight's broadcast, all of my listening audience from around the world. For the record, this show does not have all the answers, but together with your help, I can assure you, we will find some answers that may prove beneficial to your relationship. So please stay tuned with us, and we thank you for that. Tonight's characters are Ken, Lola, and Martha. Once again, tonight's characters are Ken, Lola, and Martha. Now, Ken and Lola are siblings. They are siblings who grew up in a very religious and close-knit home where emphasis were always placed on the importance of being equally yoked. That's important for you all to know. We're going to come back to you momentarily. We're just going to ask you to stand by. And just before, we're going to take a brief moment to bring in my co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake from Atlanta. Ms. Blake, are you there?
Yes, I am, Dr. Walker. We are up for a very exciting show tonight.
Yes, we are. And we've got a featured guest that's going to be with us for perhaps throughout the show or as long as she can, she's traveling. So this is Ms. Hitchcock. Ms. Hitchcock, I've got my co-host, Audrey Blake, on.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to meet you, Ms. Blake.
All right, so we're going to ask you to just stand by as we go back to our story. And, of course, I don't like to leave my co-host out. I would like to bring her in when we're getting ready for the broadcast. All right, again, Ken, Lola, and Martha. Ken and Lola are the siblings who grew up in a very religious and close-knit home where emphasis were always placed on the importance of being equally yoked. They have now had serious discussions on the definition of equally yoked. Their parents really drilled this on them, particularly in the area of making sure that you marry someone of the same religion, regardless of anything else. The same religion to the parents obviously seems to be the most important component of being equally yoked. Now, Ken and Lola, now adults in their 20s, are very close siblings. Lola is 2 years older and acts sometimes like Ken's mother and trying to dictate to him, even when it comes to dating. Now, Lola subscribes to the letter of the law of what her parents instilled in her concerning being equally yoked. Ken, on the other hand, does not agree with their views or interpretations of being equally yoked. The siblings are now in disagreement with this, especially since Ken is desirous of getting married to Martha, his girlfriend of the past 2 years. Martha is not of the same faith as Ken, but she does attend church and is strong in her beliefs concerning her spirituality. The couple is seriously mad about each other. Lola, the sister, feels this doesn't matter, and what matters most is that Martha should be of the same faith for them to be equally yoked. Sounds familiar with a lot of folks. Ken's argument is that unequally yoked refers to people that are non-believers and not other Christians, like they have been taught by their parents to believe. Of all the relationships Ken has experienced, Martha is the only one that he feels is equally yoked, and most compatible, including the girls that he's dated who are part of the same faith. Questions are, we have five questions tonight, and the first question is, do you think there is any validity in what Ken is saying? Question number two, do you think these siblings are confused on the definition? Question three, is it their parents' fault they don't clearly agree on the term equally yoked? Question four, do you think that people who don't understand equally yoked or being equally yoked are having or could have problems in their relationships or marriage? Question five, do you think that Ken and Martha would have serious problems if they marry? because they are not of the same faith or denomination. Now, we ask you to please stand by and hold on your seats indefinitely, your computer and your phone, for perhaps the answers to these questions and much more, which brings us, of course, to tonight's topic, equally yoked. What does it really mean? And this is only part one, starting right here, right now, live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Let me just go over here and just throw some stuff out. equally yoked. And let me just start with our featured guest here. And let me just ask you, do you think that Ken and Martha should get married? And then give us your definition of equally yoked.
Okay.
Ms. Hitchcock, that's for you.
Yes. Dr. Walker, as I was looking up what yoke mean, it basically is dealing with a, according to Wikipedia, which I know is not a reliable source in education, but nevertheless, a yoke is a wooden beam normally used between a part of an oxen or other animal. And this
right.
is the part I like the most about it. It said to enable them to pull together on a load. And I like that definition that said to pull together on a load, because as you go through marriage, you deal with a lot of different loads in relationship. And one of the loads that you do deal with is, you know, religion. Religion can be a load that couples have to deal with, and especially when you bring kids into the picture. And, you know, I would say that, is it Ken and Martha?
Ken and Martha.
Ken
Lola.
And Martha. I'm sorry?
Yeah, Lola is the Ken's sister, but Martha
yes.
is his girl.
Right. To be of the same spiritual beliefs towards God, understanding where you stand spiritually and understanding your relationship with God is a very, very important thing, because you can also have a relationship with somebody who is in the same religious faith and still not come together. However, religious practices is a really important area. It's just an important part of life. Like, for me, religious practices is everything. It determines my jobs and what kind of jobs I take. It determines how I raise my kids. It determines my dress. It determines so many things about me. And when your religious practice is that deep, is part of you in that way, then to marry somebody that has a different religious practice can be an issue. And when you and that brings on a load, and you're not able to pull together during that time. So with just the information that you shared with me, that you're sharing with everyone, Ken and Martha need to look into that a whole lot more, because they're going to have to learn how to pull together. And if they're already opposites when it comes to their religious beliefs and their practices and their way of life.
Well, that's an interesting perspective.
That will affect it.
Okay, go ahead. Ms. Blake, did you want to come in?
Oh, yes.
Okay, all right. We're going to ask you to stand by.
Sure.
Just for Ms. Hitchcock, we're going to bring another view, and then and of
sure.
course I have my views tonight that I want to love.
Yeah, I was reading up on this, and then, of course, I have my own thoughts. But, you know, the key here is, I believe the scripture talks about being unequally yoked with unbelievers. And the issue here is, what's an unbeliever? Because many
right.
have been led to think, and, you know, people are going to shoot me, they might, you know, kick me out of my church, but oh well, to think that an unbeliever means they don't have the same denominational label.
Uh-huh.
And the truth of the matter is, you can have the same denominational label and be unequally yoked, because it's about your spirituality and your relationship with God. Now, that's me. Shoot me.
Okay.
But I
see and you know, and we certainly do appreciate all perspectives that come in throughout this broadcast. We certainly do appreciate them. And, you know, we do often have opposing views on a regular and routine basis. Now, I tend to, I've looked at that scripture where it talked about being unevenly or unequally yoked. And just as you mentioned, Ms. Hitchcock, one component of being equally yoked, and you placed emphasis on the religious aspect of it in terms of those oxen being able to carry that load. And I'm very familiar with the term unequally yoked. Now, as I look at that scripture, my interpretation of that does not necessarily relate to people who are believers or of different faiths necessarily, because you can take two people who are of different faiths and find that just like with Martha and Ken, they seem to have more in common. They seem to be more compatible than anyone that Ken dated, even the ladies in the church. And, of course, there are just as many, according to statistics, and you can research these, all of us and all of my listening audience can, there are just as many people of the same faith that are finding themselves in divorce court as there are people who perhaps that are not of the same faith. And as a matter of fact, you may find even a lot of them that are more so. But I encourage you all, because I don't have the accurate statistics or the current statistics on it, but you can certainly research it for yourself. I want to share something with you all based on my study today, and this is a brief article that came from something I researched on the internet, browse categories, Regent University, something that I just looked at today. And this is, the question was asked, what is the true definition of being unequally yoked with someone? And the question came out, if I marry someone from a different Christian denomination than mine, does this mean that I am unequally yoked in Christ? Is this a sin? If so, why? You know, that is so interesting, because, you know, what you can be told from that pulpit, you know, what the minister or the elders can certainly come across and tell you from the pulpit can be embedded into the minds and hearts of people that they are, in fact, think that they're maybe committing a sin when, in fact, they're not. You know, that it's like, you know, sharing something with you that can go with you forever and throughout generations, perhaps, or it's so traditional that somebody can say, well, you got to marry of the same faith. And I mean, it comes down to the individual couple. It comes down, but I think that only the spiritual aspect or the religious aspect or the denomination is one component of it. I think that there are other components that are equally as important that you need to look at. Now, this young lady, one of the answers that came in for, Ms. Blake, did you want to come in real quickly?
Yeah, Dr. Gore, really quick. And I do want to say to our special guest, I do agree with some aspects of what she's saying. I didn't want to come off as I was in total disagreement, because it is true that if you have more things in common and you can agree upon more things, then certainly it does put you on a good footing. I'm just simply saying that that's not an absolute. You know, but you have to work through some more things if you don't have those things in common.
Okay. Now, you say you agree with with our featured guest this evening, but what part? You agree that the people should be of the same denomination? Is that what you agree with?
No, I'm saying it. I'm saying from both a psychological and a spiritual point that there can be advantages if people, the couple, are in agreement about certain things. And so if they are from the same belief system, then there is a tendency maybe for them to agree on some things, but it takes more than that. What I'm saying, it may sound like double talk, but it's not. I understand that there definitely is an advantage to having similar belief systems or beliefs, but I'm saying that just because you don't, does not make you unequally yoked.
Oh, okay. All right. I like that. Now we go back to the questions just a moment, and then we're going to bring in Miss our featured guest back in just momentarily. But let me read this question again. What is the true definition of being unequally yoked with someone? And the lady wants to know if she marries someone from a different Christian denomination than hers, then does this mean that she's unequally yoked in Christ, and is it a sin? If so, why? Now, here's one of the answers that came in over the Internet, and this was, the origin of the phrase comes from having two oxen of unequal strength pulling a plow. The stronger one will dominate the other, and the row of the plow won't be straight. When you apply this to marriage, the inequality would be of if one person dominated the other, instead of it being a partnership with each person complementing the other's strength. As far as different denominations go, now this is important, this is a matter for the couple to discuss during their courtship. It has nothing to do with being unequal. Now, this comes from the Internet, and I kind of lean with that if they are both spiritual. I think that if they are both spiritual, and we're going to get some other views to come in momentarily, if they are both spiritual, then I think that that's what you should be looking at. Because if you've got a lot of other stuff going for you, like the chemistry of the relationship, you know, you have more in common, and you're both spiritual worshiping the same God as opposed to somebody being atheist, then I think that that's where it makes a difference. Now, Ms. Hitchcock, we're going to go back to you momentarily and give you an opportunity to respond to some of the things that that I've maybe presented. Ms. Hitchcock?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I wasn't sure when I was here or not. But, you know, I did want to – I'm not sure exactly how I came when I first made my comment. I said that Kate and Martha need to look into their religious aspects as an area that could cause this issue. But I was not saying that they're religious. If they come together religiously, that they are equally yoked. Because personally, I do not believe, as our guest, our host was saying, it is true that religion does not determine whether you're equally yoked or not, because I see it so often that we're in the same religion and we're still not equally yoked. I did like the definition that somebody sent in on email regarding, you know, how the strengths don't have to be the same way, two oxen of different strength. But somehow, you know, the yoke allows them to come together. So I was really happy to hear that. Can you rephrase your question for me, please?
No, I will. I'm going to go back now, and we're going to take some of the callers that are calling in momentarily.
Okay.
But first, let me go to Ms. Blake and ask this question. Mm-hmm. So many people place emphasis on when you hear unequally yoked, and maybe you've heard it from childhood, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear unequally yoked?
Well, up until recently, it would have been religion.
Okay.
But again, you know, there are other ways. You talking about upbringing and decision making and finance and education and just a whole host of things that make that person.
Okay. Now, when you think about, for example, the lady who sent in that comment, when she wanted to know, I mean, this could have been a very young person. We don't know. It could have been someone 18, you know, thinking about getting married. Do you think that what she hears maybe from a minister in that pulpit that gets up and says, make sure whatever you do, don't marry somebody that's not of the same faith that you are, how would you, I mean, if this were your daughter, let's just say that you were 18, 19, or 20, and if this were your daughter, and you both heard that in there, and you're pretty much a liberal thinker, a liberal Christian, whatever that means to you, how would you advise your daughter after the service?
Well, one is to pray. The same thing I tell everybody and that I live by is to pray and get God's guidance. And part of that is looking at a variety of factors, because marriage is a coming together of two people from different backgrounds. Even if you have everything seemingly in common, you're two different people. And so you need to look at what is that person's relationship with God? How is God in that person's life? And you have to gauge where God is in your life, because if you got somebody who doesn't place a lot of emphasis on spirituality or they don't care about finances, you have to look at all areas. And so I wouldn't tell them, I would say, baby, it's not just about a denominational label.
But she says, Mom, but the preacher say that, you know, I like this boy over here and he doesn't go to our church. You know, I really like him and, you know, we're thinking about seeing each other and, you know, even when we go to college, you know, so what should I do? What do you
tell
us?
Well, here's the thing. My response is the person that you connect with should help you maintain and progress in your relationship with God. Will that person draw you too closer to God or further away from God?
Okay.
That's one good gauge.
Okay. All right. So now, to answer, if she were to ask you, Mama, is it a sin if I marry outside? Like the young lady, I'm assuming that it's a young lady, because I can't see someone older probably asking that question, is it a sin? And then again, maybe I could.
It could be.
Depends on how your conditioning has run from you
right.
know, early on in your life. So
right.
if it were your daughter, you know, what would you tell her? Mom, is it a sin if I do?
No, it's not. I've not seen that in one of the Ten Commandments.
Okay, it is not. All right, we're going to take some of the calls that have come in, and Ms. Hitchcock, we're going to ask you to stand by at this moment. We're going to go to 954. We're going to go to 954. 226. Who do we have on the air this evening?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thank you for joining us. Rose, give us your thoughts on what we presented this evening.
Oh boy, I've been listening, and maybe I have mixed views because. But let me see if I can voice that. I agree with Ms. Hitchcock. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing that name wrong. And I like the analogy she used with the dictionary about the yoke. And I think it's so important that you have a balance there, because then, of course, if one is overpowering the other one, it's going to be unbalanced and somebody's going to be left behind. And before long, I think that marriage might go sour. The Bible say, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. And yes, I was one of those who always thought as I was growing up that that meant that you had to be with someone in your same faith, okay? But as I grew older and I read that and I analyzed that, it clearly says, I think we sometimes we just cut it off at a certain point. Don't be unequally yoked, but forget to say with unbelievers. And who are unbelievers? To me, unbelievers are some people who do not believe in Christ. Okay? Therefore, it's in my opinion, I'm going to go again, something that I strongly recommend, is that it does not really have to be the same faith if I go by that text. Okay? Because unbelievers is someone who does not believe in Christ. However, I think it makes life and make your marriage a whole lot easier if they're from the same faith and you have the same belief. Just like the guest said, Miss Ishcook, I think I said her name wrong, with the yoke. Because if you two don't have the same faith, the same belief, then of course one is going to be pulling and the other one is lagging behind. And before long, there are going to be arguments, you know, regarding your faith. And so that can cause, I believe, something to go wrong in the marriage. So I believe to be on the safe side, I would recommend to my kids and to myself that you marry someone within your same faith, although it's not a sin to marry outside of your faith if the person is a believer. It just makes life easier for you in your marriage if you have someone of your same faith. And, of course, that's not the only thing it can be unequally yoked with. It could be several things, as Ms. Blake said, but I believe that that is one of the most important areas, you know, because you need to have Christ in your life for anything to work to run smoothly.
Yes. Well, Rosalie, that was certainly a mouthful of that. We appreciate that. And now, you know, I wanna point this question at my co-host and ask the question. You know, Rose mentioned that she probably was going against something that she normally doesn't go against, and to mention that, you know, the importance of looking at the entire context of the scripture. And I thought that that was very good and noteworthy that she pointed out. In addition to that, you know, when we talk about the unequally yoked with the oxen and the plow, one dominating, let me throw this question to my co-host, what about when it comes to maybe education? Let's say one has a bachelor's degree and the significant other, say the woman has a bachelor's degree and her husband didn't finish high school. Are they unequally yoked? You know, but they get along pretty good, but it's just that he's probably not as articulate when they're around her friend. Are they unequally yoked when we talk about one dominating?
There is some unequalness, if you look at it like that, but it does not mean it can't work, because there are not simple answers to this, Dr. Walker, because you're dealing with complex people with personalities. So
right. One
person may have an inferiority complex in that situation. You can have another person that, man, that's my baby. She's got her degree. You know, he adores her. You know?
Right.
So it really will depend on the person. But I do agree with what Rose's comments were. I absolutely agree with what she said 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another thought I had, but it'll come back to me later. I definitely will.
Okay. All right. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. Tonight we're talking about unequally yoked. What does it really mean? And this is part one. If we don't get a chance to go into the food for thought tonight, you will definitely want to hear the food for thought on this one in part two. That's it from my producers. Will let us know towards the end of the show whether they want us to go with that. If you want to speak to the host, simply press 1 when you call in, and we'll take your call. Let me just take a look now and ask Ms. Hitchcock. Ms. Hitchcock, give me your thoughts,
sir,
if you would, on when, you know, the education scenario that I presented. If the lady, let's say, has her master's or a bachelor's, and her husband doesn't have, you know, he didn't even finish high school, how would you say that they're unequally yoked, as my co-host presented?
Well, I'm going to say, first of all, before I get into any trouble, one size doesn't fit everybody. So, you know, you know, what's an issue for some couples may not be an issue for another couple. So really, you know, in the process of prayer, we just determine what will work for us, you know, with the help of God. But, I do agree with the comments that were said before, you know, in terms of, you know, if there's not an issue, if there's not an inferiority complex and this, that, and the other, then, you know, it can work. It will have its issues. It will have its battle, but it can work. Now, would I personally say it's unequally yoked? When you talk about the female having more education than the man, at times it can be an issue. Maybe it might be an issue. Maybe the female is bringing in more money financially too as well. You know, then there's the, you know, the basically dealing with how we're going to raise the children and, you know, financially deal with those issues too as well. So, I mean, that can bring in some problems. But once again, it's possible. I wanted to talk about go back to one of your questions about is it sin when you are unequally yoked? And I wanted to answer that from my own opinion, because I don't know where it's at, if it's in the Bible anywhere. But basically, no, I don't see, if you're unequally yoked, it's a matter of, are you allowing your relationship to go as easily despite all the friction that's going to result from just being married and just being in connection with other people? Are you going to allow that to be as easy as possible? And that's basically for me what unequally yoked is answering. Are you willing to deal with the issues that's going to result from the differences that we have in these areas, whether they're financially or career, educationally or spiritually and religiously? You know, and if it's a spiritual issue, then what's bringing you together when you do have this these different issues?
Okay, I think that's a very interesting point. But, see, you can also have some of these other issues can be, the spiritual part may not be the problem always. And I think many of us are saying some of the same things. And I agree with Ms. Blake in that this is a not necessarily an easy thing to find an answer to, because it can be complex, as she said, because
right.
What's happening is we're bringing in different personalities, and just the fact that you have the male and female species, that in itself, that in itself, and I know, see, I don't even have to say it, and we can all laugh about it because we know just the fact that two of us people of the opposite sex are coming together. it's complicated in itself.
Right,
and
true that.
And no matter how close you can be, at some point, you know, you won't really know a person until you get to live with them. And somewhere along the way, you are going to get on each other's nerves, right?
Right. Correct.
let me ask you quickly. And certainly if you don't feel comfortable with anything in our line of questions, you can certainly pass. Are you married to someone that's of the same faith?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I didn't introduce myself about my family. I said maybe I'll do that later. But I am currently married. We have been married for over 18 years. I'm usually the bad one at remembering the number of years and the anniversary date. I seem to be putting our anniversary a week earlier than we were actually married. I told him maybe I'm just anxious to celebrate it. But anyway, I've been married for 18 years, and we have two children, one 13 and one 4 at this time. So, yes. And he was not part of my fate when we met. And, you know, just to, I guess, be real quickly, the first time he asked me out was a Friday evening. And that's when my fate came into the picture, because he asked me to come over and watch a movie with a friend of his. And I was just always eyeing this guy, and I was so excited, and I said, God, why? Why did you have to let this happen on a Friday evening? But I had to pretty much suck it up and say to him, well, we're about to have devotions, so if you'd like to come over, you know, we'd love to have you, but I'm going to have to take a rain check if that's okay.
With why Friday would, for my listening audience, without giving, you know, why would Friday have been a problem
right.
for the guy over or for you to go over to move with him?
Right. For spiritual reasons, I celebrate the Sabbath. I am a Sabbath keeper, and I believe in sunset to sundown. And sunset to sunset. And so from Friday evening, you know, we're focusing on God. And, you know, that's another program of your that you'll probably talk about. What exactly does that mean? But for me at that time, you know, to kind of go and sit down and watch a movie with you, I'm sure a secular movie at that, you know, was not necessary. So I basically had to turn him down on his first request.
So let me get this right. Let me get this right. And, Ms. Blake, at any point in time you want to jump in, just feel free to jump in.
Sure,
now, I'm understanding that her Sabbath starts from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. Is that right, Ms. Hitchcock?
Yes, sir.
And that's what my audience wants to know. And so you concentrate on spiritual matters during that time, which is obviously sacred to you, and your friend at the time, or this guy that you had interest in, invited you over during a time that was not sacred for you to watch a secular movie. I think that's what I heard you say. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, well, then let me ask you this question. If knowing, being reared the way that you were reared, why didn't you just concentrate on guys that were within your faith or denomination so this would not be a possible problem?
That's a good question. I met this young man at work, I guess 19 years ago. I met him at work. And he had a lot of qualities that I just knew God would wanted me to have for a husband. I just knew he was going to be my husband. I just didn't know how it was going to work out. But, you know, in all honesty, although we were really, I mean, I was young. I was just 19. I just came from the U.S. Virgin Islands. But I pretty much felt like I was kind of mature and just had an idea of what I wanted out of life. And, you know, when I met him, he was a good worker. He was actually a manager of the restaurant that I was working with. And I saw his ethical qualities as he worked. And I was just like, okay, I like this about him. Spiritually, he wasn't wild or anything like that. He was actually in the church and, you know, serious about God as well. Another denomination, he was Baptist. His father was a Baptist minister and so forth. And, you know, but he also was searching for truth. He was searching. He was searching, you know, for some of the things that I pretty much grew up knowing. And, you know, through the course of my Bible studies and a revelation seminar, he understood where we stood, you know, where we stood and why I was where I was.
Okay. So let me ask you
I'm sorry. I didn't answer your question. I wasn't necessarily searching for anybody, but when I saw him, I saw the qualities that I wanted out of a husband.
Okay, but obviously one of those qualities at the time was not mm-hmm. being the same person
right.
that you were.
You know, we're never going to find, and that's why I said I like the whole idea of the oxen not being of the same. You know, we're never going to be the same. You know, the yoke is really what brings you together so that you can pull
okay.
together so that,
right.
you know, one doesn't dominate over the other in the wrong way. But, you know,
okay.
I've been married for 18 years, and I do believe that when I'm weak, he's stronger. When he's weak, you know, I'm stronger. It's like we can't both be strong at the same time, and we can't both be weak at the same time. We can't both be weak at the same time is one of our our rules in the house. Like, hey, look, we can't both be going through issues right now, okay? So, but basically, we're not always going to see things the same way, agree to things the same way, and we're not always going to be at the same level financially, spiritually, or in any area. But somehow, God, with the power of God, He can still make it work nonetheless.
All right, we may take a couple of comments that have come in, but my producer let me know to go ahead and stay with this. Now, Ms. Blake, at any point in time, you can jump in. I mean, because Ms. Hitchcock, don't think we're picking on you now, because sometimes, you know, we're just trying to think like a lot of the listeners, you know, that are too shy to
right.
tune in. You know,
Dr. Walker.
Yes, go ahead.
And I've been thinking about this week. And to our guests, I think that's awesome. I mean, I think it really is, and I understand. First of all, you know, there are a lot of Sabbath. I'm coming across personally a lot of Sabbath keepers out there, and of various denominational names, because
right.
people are just starting to read up on a lot of things. So that's
uh-huh.
one thing. But I think about the young ladies in the church. In various churches, and if they're being told that you should only marry somebody of your same faith, now think about this. I'm not trying
okay.
to convince, and I'll make this quick. And let's just say they're African American, and so let's just say they want to marry another African American. So
uh-huh.
you're looking for but you're hoping that an African American will find you who is of your faith, and let's just say that you're of a similar belief system to our guests. So let's just say there are 500 young ladies out there looking for that, and you got about 100 men single and available, and we're not counting how many of those are heterosexual. I'm just going to keep
right.
it.
Okay.
So these young ladies who are remaining virgins until marriage and want to marry somebody of their faith, you do the math. That's all I'm saying.
Ms. Hitchcock, do you want to respond to that? So,
I think I'm going to let that one continue on for a little while. Give me a moment on that, okay?
Well, see,
in fact, we need to have a pastor on this show or a few pastors to address that.
We will have one, and he'll be on part two of the show.
So can we make that a question?
Yes, we can. We certainly can. We can certainly present that, and I think that it will be a very good question, as a matter of fact. You know, I mean,
do they wait until these men marry people and their spouses die and then catch them on the next marriage? I'm just saying.
No, I know. And see, that's the thing. And or do we really, is it that when you are attracted to someone, just like Ms. Hitchcock was attracted to the guy that, you know, that she's now married to for the past 18 years, Ms. Hitchcock, in all honesty, did you think about your spirituality or your faith or denomination, you know, when you were going against your heart of this guy is really gorgeous or whatever it was you were thinking?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, were you weighing this in the initial stages of your thought of, you know, liking this guy? Honestly,
yes.
Speaking,
yes. You're asking me if I was weighing the effects of my spiritual life with him, if I was to just, I suppose, maybe just take him as he was, you know, of another denomination, another religious faith and everything, if I was to just go with him as it is. Is that
well,
what you're
I mean,
asking?
Basically, okay, when you saw him at work and maybe he approached
mm-hmm.
you, who approached you first? Did he approach you first or you approached him?
I really felt like it was just God ordained. He actually stopped to pick me up when I was walking to my home. And I did not realize we lived so close to each other. And he said to me, if you ever need a ride anywhere, please let me know, you know. So I had to take him up on that offer because, yes, I was looking at him, but I had not said anything to him. We just worked together.
Did you need a ride more than
yeah,
one?
I sure did. I sure did need a ride. I found every excuse to get a ride.
Okay. Wait a minute, was this based on a need or was it based on a want? Did you really
he did, okay. Well, you know what? He did say, I need a ride, okay? Okay, so, no, it wasn't based on needs. You know, I didn't have to go to the grocery store. I selected my ride very, yes, the ride I mainly asked him for was I told him I needed to go take pictures. I needed an excuse to get dressed up, right? So I did. I got dressed up, and I went to Olin Mills to take pictures. I had to work it, you know. Didn't I have to work it? But, you know, basically, the whole idea that we were not of the same faith was constantly on my mind. Because when you think ahead to your children, you know, possibilities of having kids, and just the whole idea that I do like my spouse next to me when I go to church. I mean, that may be something really, you know, small, not small, excuse me. That may be something that, you know, maybe people don't think about, but, you know, I grew up in a family where, you know, my mom maybe went to church on her own and what have you, took us to church on her own, and I guess I just like company. And I thought it was very important for me spiritually to have my spouse sit next to me in church. And I thought it was very important for me spiritually to be able to discuss the sermons with my spouse without maybe having issues. You know, I don't understand this or no, you know. Yeah, we can discuss. You'll have to excuse me. I'm running between the car and
that's
the lawn.
Okay. That's okay. We're going to put you on hold just for a second, and we're going to go back to Ms. Blake momentarily. I mean, Ms. Blake, does it,
yes.
I mean, with all due respect to our featured guest this evening, but from my perspective here as a male, and I'm just thinking that really sounds like some manipulation there. You know, the
Well, you know, I mean, we got to make ourselves presentable.
We do it too, and don't take, you know, don't take offense, anyone, especially my featured guest, that when we use the term manipulation, it's not necessarily a negative, doesn't have a negative connotation in this instance because it's not something that men don't do. You know, let me come up with my strategy, whether we want to call it a strategy or a manipulation or a tactic. You know, I want to get her, so I got to come out with my best line. So,
but it's like this. I mean, I'm a Southern lady, and I believe that a man should show the interest, take the initiative. But at the same time, when someone's taking initiative, I have to show some interest.
Okay.
She was just certainly showing lots of interest.
Right, and then she probably aligned herself. And I don't think there's anything wrong with the woman aligning herself to be recognized.
Right.
But it's conditioning.
Are you in favor of that?
Absolutely.
I agree. You know, manipulation was, I did not take any offense to that. That was kind of funny as you said that. I think we play roles, and oftentimes we just have to decide. You know.
Okay, we're gonna. I know she's experiencing something right there. We've got about 3 minutes before we bring the show to a close. Let me just take one of the. We're gonna try to take one at least one of these comments that have come in. This comment comes from. A male, he says, reference to tonight's program, equally yoked, what does it really mean? I let my heart slip away from me several years ago because I did not understand clearly the meaning of being equally yoked. When I hear equally yoked, my biblical interpretation is that you should not mix with non-believers in God. I think we hear the wrong interpretations in church so often that a lot of people get involved in the wrong relationships centered around their own church family, only to discover they are living in an unhealthy marriage or relationship. Ms. Blake, I'm going to ask you to speak to that issue.
Absolutely. Again, people feel forced to choose from a very small pool of people based on a certain set of characteristics, and there's more to it than that, you know.
Okay, I certainly agree with that. And let me go to Ms. Hitchcock just momentarily here.
Right.
Is she on point? What do you think, Ms. Hitchcock?
Yeah, I believe she is on point. And I think as we go back to her last comment about the 500 women and so forth, so I guess comment on that a little bit, we cannot minimize, you know, how God can work things out. I know a girlfriend who, you know, was upset about going to a particular place because she figured she could not find her spouse there. Well, guess what? She didn't find her spouse there, but she found her spouse while she was there. So we really have to just be open about where God is leading us and what he will give to us, you know, what he will allow to, you know, come our way, regardless of what it looks like.
Mm-hmm. I think that's excellent.
Okay, when you say regardless of what it looks like, you don't mean what regardless of what he
right.
looks like.
You know, meaning, you know. I'm pretty sure God is going to give you somebody that you're attracted to. It's going to be really, really hard for God to get your attention to that person.
Or he's going to dim your eye, your vision.
Exactly. Okay. He'll do one or the other.
Okay, or maybe he'll give you something that will keep you closely knitted with him or turn you in that direction.
There we go.
He's going to work it out for his good. That's the point.
He's going to work it out. You know, this has really been a great, great show. My producer letting me know that we've got about 90 seconds before we bring it to a close. Ms. Hitchcock, would you come back when we have part two, which will be in a couple of weeks?
I would love to. I'll try to be
stationary somewhere. That's fine.
Yes,
will you bring your husband back this time? Will you bring him?
You know, I'm sorry. My husband is out in the country right now. He's out the country right now, so it's going to be about another 6-7 months before you see him again and before you get to hear from him. I might see if he could, get in touch with his magic jack and see if he could get on the
The show is heard around the world.
Okay,
so I would love for him to tune in and listen in. Ms. Blake, it's been also a pleasure. Did you have any final words?
No, I just can't wait till we do part two.
I do want to tell you I appreciate this time, too. I've really enjoyed myself, and thank you for the invitation on the show.
Cool. And thank you for being with us. And we are certainly out of time. And I want to say to all of my listening audience, we do appreciate you all tuning in tonight. And we look forward to you all joining us on Friday night show. But, of course, if you choose to bypass Friday show, Join us again on the topic will be the drawbacks of jumping in another relationship too soon. The drawbacks of jumping into another relationship too soon. Until then, everybody, we say good night, God bless, and thank you, God.